Scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 19. You know, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, all of it, right? Some passages might be different than others. This is not a happy-go-lucky chapter. This is, so keep that in mind. But we are going through the book of Genesis, and so I'm going to bring this message about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 19 of Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, excuse me, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, Escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, which means little. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. We'll be looking at this passage in just a few minutes. Passage again, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we pray that you'll help us to understand who you are and how you operate. We pray, Lord, that we would truly surrender ourselves to you and walk in the way that you'd have us to go and to be faithful. We thank you for our Lord Jesus and to know that he has died for us on the cross that we might have everlasting life. And through our faith in him, we can look forward to that day when we will be with you in heaven. We rejoice in all of this, our Father, and we just pray your blessings upon our church and upon all of your people, wherever they may be found today. We think of those who are being persecuted in various places around the world, and we ask you to be with them and meet their needs, comfort and help them. We pray for those who are sick today that you might touch and heal them according to your precious will. We do ask you, Lord, to continue to bless Jane Wagner especially, as we read the note from her today. We know that it's hard for her to go on without her husband. And we ask you to just give her strength, comfort, blessing. Thank you that her daughter is willing to take her in. And we pray that your blessings might be upon her as well. We do hope and pray that they'll be able to come to church and be with us here. We ask you for any others who are going through difficult times that you might meet their needs as well. For those who are looking to you for help and strength, we know that you will answer their prayers. And Lord, we just ask you now to bless your word through our hearts and teach us something that will be helpful to us. We wonder sometimes, how could something that happened so long ago have any effect upon us? But yet, we know that it's a picture to us of our world today, of all the ungodliness that exists, and how long are you going to be patient, and what's going to happen? It's good for us to think about. And so we pray that it might be so. And Lord, we just ask you to give us wisdom and understanding, guidance, direction, and help us to live righteously in your sight. We thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. Help us to do your will, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the previous chapter, the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham and as the men. They took upon themselves human form and came and talked with Abraham and Sarah, told them that they were going to be having a son within the next year, and that that would happen. And the second thing he told them was that they were going to check out Sodom and Gomorrah to see if they were really as wicked as they thought, and if they were, it would be destroyed. So we find here the sin that became so grievous from Sodom and Gomorrah that God was seriously thinking about destroying them. And this is the reason he sends these angels down there. And Abraham, of course, you remember we finished up last week talking about his intercession and how that he prayed that God would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. You remember he started off with 50? He said, if there's 50 there, would you spare the city? Oh, yes, I would. And he goes all the way down from little by little till he gets to 10. Lord, if there's 10 righteous in the city of Sodom, would you spare the whole city? Yes, I would. Yes, I would, he says. And we find out that the angels go down, and that's where we started off here, these first few verses. There came two angels to Sodom at evening. See, it's about to get dark, close to evening time. And the first person that they come in contact with is Lot, Abraham's nephew. Notice it says he sat in the gate of Sodom. Now this means, you know, the gate of the city was where they transacted the business. And the important elders of the city were the ones who sat there and discussed the business, or perhaps met the people as they were coming in, made sure that there wasn't someone coming in that they didn't desire to have there, and so forth. And so he had become an important person. Remember, Lot had become more and more attached to Sodom. He started out with Abraham, remember? He came out of Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham. He lived with him for a number of years and had his tent living for God. But then Abraham gave him the choice of where he could go and live, because there were too many cattle for them both to graze together. And he gave Lot the choice. So what did Lot do? He looked down on the plain and he chose the area around Sodom. He says, I'll take that. That's nice. Nice grazing area. It's a nice place to live. And so then we find he pitched his tent toward Sodom, it says. And then later he moved into the city of Sodom. And now he's one of the leading citizens of the city. So we can see gradually he has become more and more entrenched in the life of Sodom. According to the New Testament now, we have to look at this, because otherwise you would think he was a reprobate. You would think he was just another sinner. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, we find that Lot was a righteous man. You might find that hard to believe. But anyway, chapter 2, verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, God condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." See, that's the reason for this. That's the reason it's in the Bible. It's an example of so that we would not live ungodly. "And delivered just Lot." That doesn't mean only Lot. I think he was practically the only one. But it means the righteous Lot. Just in this case, it means righteous. "He delivered righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man," there it is, "dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So we find here, Lot was a righteous man. This is the one that Abraham was praying for, that God would deliver the righteous ones from the destruction. And so, but Lot, as we've seen from our reading, you see what kind of place Sodom was. An ungodly place, immoral, totally. And he's living in the midst of all of that. And no doubt it has affected his own way of thinking from some of the things that that we see that take place in this chapter. It rubs off on you, doesn't it? You know, you have to be so careful not to allow what's happening around you to change you into something else that you don't desire to be, or that God doesn't desire for you to be. Anyway, we find these two angels coming there in the evening, and Lot right away invites them into his house. You know, he's being hospitable. That's good, right? Inviting these guests in. But he had another reason for doing that. He did not want them to stay out in the street overnight. It's obvious, because we see later these men coming to abuse them and to have a homosexual sex, we might as well say it, with them. And this is what one of the great sins of Sodom was. Open homosexuality. It said the whole city was given over to that. Perversion. And what God calls an abomination. At any rate, we find here, he invites them in. They hesitate, but then they say, okay. So they come in, and he's to spend the night with him, and he has a great time of hospitality. He gives them a feast, it says. And so they enjoy being there, no doubt. But before they could get ready to go to bed, there's this great commotion outside with everyone coming around the whole house. These men, it says they're men, right? And they want Lot to send out to them the two men that have come into his house, that they might know them. And you know what the biblical definition of know them is, right? And it speaks of having sex with them. So this is the horrible thing about this whole passage. These wicked men of Sodom surrounding the house and demanding that Lot send these men out and to satisfy their perverted lust and immorality. So there's a passage over in Romans chapter 1 that speaks of this. Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Romans 1, 26. It says, I have to read verse 25, I guess. It says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them over unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So that's quite a list, isn't it? But you think, the world in which we live today, is it so different? I think we have to be careful as we think about God's righteousness and holiness and our sinfulness as a civilization, and we as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, should not be involved in this kind of lifestyle at all. It's something that we need to separate ourselves from. I know some people consider themselves Christian gays. I've heard of that. One of the ones that's running for President of the United States says he's a Christian gay. But according to the Word of God, there's no such thing. Right? We have to follow what the Scriptures say. So Lot sought to reason with this crowd, you notice? And they wouldn't listen. They said, we'll do more to you than we did to them. They were going to grab him. And then Lot comes up with this idea. I mean, it shows how far down his moral standards have gone. He was going to offer his two daughters to satisfy the lusts of these men. I mean, how low could you possibly go? I can't believe it. And yet, this is what we find here. He says, don't do so wickedly. I'll give you my two daughters. You can do what you want to with them. I mean, come on. That is really getting bad. I mean, so finally the angels had to reach out and grab Lot, bring him in, close the door, and struck everyone with blindness. Wow. What a story. I mean, come on. This is it's really something else. And yet, this is reality. And you know, it's hard to believe that people live this way. And yet we know they do. And may the Lord help us. We see also, talking about Sodom, homosexuality wasn't their only sin, okay? Ezekiel talks about this over in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49. Ezekiel 16:49. Here he's talking to the Jewish people, but he's saying, wait a minute. Did I get the wrong verse? It looks like verse 48 to me. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, nor she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Talking to Jerusalem. Behold, this was the iniquity, here it is, of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. You notice all those lists there? Pride is number one. Start off with that. And then it goes down, down, down through all the other sins to the abomination that God could not stand any longer. And he destroyed them. So we see then in verse 12 the plan. He says, get together all your family, your sons-in-law, your daughters, and you have to get out of here because God is going to destroy this place. Basically, that's what he's saying here. He has a plan to escape destruction. And so he goes to talk to his sons-in-law, and they look at him like, oh, you got to be kidding, you know. They thought he was joking. They thought he, you know, oh, God's not going to do anything. You know people like that today? You tell people, you know, you need to get ready because the Lord is coming back. The Lord is going to bring judgment. And they look at you and say, oh, come on, you've got to be kidding me. Everything's the same as it always was. Peter talks about that, doesn't he? Yeah. Says, you know, all things have continued on just like they've been from the beginning. God's not going to do anything. And yet, we see here, he did. And he will. So, in the next morning then, they had to rush out and leave the city. So the angels had to grab them. They were reluctant to leave. Even though they knew God's hand was going to be upon the city to destroy it. The angels had to grab them by the arm and drag them out of the city, basically. And then later, they said, escape and don't look back. So what did Lot's wife do? She looked back, didn't she? And turned into a pillar of salt. God judged her because she disobeyed. Now I was wondering about this. Maybe you can tell me. Lot was living with Abraham all the time until he moved into Sodom. It doesn't say anything there about his wife. Whether he was already married, I don't know. He may have been. But I'm just wondering if he may have found his wife at Sodom. Because it seems like she just didn't want to leave, right? She enjoyed her life there in spite of everything that was going on. And didn't want to leave. And so she disobeyed and looked back, and God judged her for it. In Luke 17, Jesus warns us to remember Lot's wife. Right? He says, be sure you take that under advisement and know that God will do what he says. She had become so attached to her worldly life that she couldn't bear to leave it behind. So only Lot and his two daughters escaped, right? It's strange. I mean, I can't believe this guy. The angels tell him, go to the mountains, get away from here. And he starts bargaining with them. Oh, well, could I just go over here to this little city? You know, it's not very big. Oh, you know. It wouldn't really matter if you don't destroy this little city over here. And so they said, okay. They gave him every benefit. And And so they went over there, and then later they had to end up going to the mountains anyway. So they should have done what the angel said to start with. But at any rate, here we find that they end up in a cave up in the mountains. And once again, we see the degradation here. The two daughters, who had been raised, I suppose, in Sodom, had acquired the same standard of morality as the rest of the people. What do? They get their father drunk and lay down with him and become pregnant, both of them. I mean, what a horrible thing to think about. It says he didn't even know what was going on. I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know how that worked out. But at any rate, we find here it says both of his daughters were with child by their father. And one of them named her son Moab, who became the father of the Moabites. We see a lot about them in the Bible. And the other one had a son named Ben-Ammi, who was the father of the children of Ammon. And these both became great enemies of the Jewish people, right? Of Israel, caused all kinds of problems and refused to help them in their time of need. So this is the story, isn't it? Does that make you want to go home and take a bath? I mean, come on. It's awful. And then it says about Abraham. Abraham got up in the morning and he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And he saw the smoke rising up. And you can imagine what was going through his mind. What about Lot? What about Lot, my nephew? And it doesn't really tell us here if he found out or not. We don't know if he got together with him later. But at any rate, we see here that he's concerned about it. And notice verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered who? Abraham. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. You see? He did it for Abraham's sake because he was a righteous man who prayed that God would deliver his loved ones from this destruction. It shows the power of prayer and intercession with God. This is our part. This is what we can do. For those who are lost in their sins, those who have not yet come to Christ, we need to pray, intercede with God. He does hear and he does answer. We see that here very clearly, right? He remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. We can deliver someone through our prayers as God lays them upon our hearts that we might be able to help them to come to Christ, to know him, and to have eternal life. What a privilege that would be, wouldn't it? To be able to help someone come to Christ through our prayers. God does answer prayer, and he gives us the opportunities to share the gospel with others. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. Lord, this is a terrible story as we read about it, and it grieves our hearts to realize that there's so much immorality going on. And we just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would help us to live righteously, to be the kind of people that you want us to be, that we might show our gratitude and our thanksgiving to you for the salvation that you have given to us. Keep us, our Father, in your care and help us to love you and serve you as we come to the communion table today to remember our Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us. We just praise you and thank you that we have eternal life through him and through him only. I pray for each and every one who is here today, Lord. You know our hearts. And I pray that we might, each one, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life through Him. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, your blessings upon us now as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen.